Okay, and we're back, hour number two. Just things going on all the time here. Christmas. Keep in mind, we don't know what's going to happen in a year. Please make this the best Christmas that you possibly can. And I mean that in the sense of honoring your friends, no matter what religious persuasion they be, whatever. Just understand that kindness and the golden rule are really all we need to be successful. Unfortunately, there are too many on this planet who would like to take those things away. Don't let them. Mitchell Henderson is back with us tonight to talk about very interesting things going on now. Some go all the way back to what Tex Mars predicted, as you just heard a few minutes ago, about Ukraine and what was scheduled to happen with Ukraine. This was Tex. And Mitch, are you there?
Yes. How are you doing this evening, Jeff?
I'm okay. I'm okay.
You're okay.
It's crazy out there. Yeah. All right. Yeah, get right up on that phone. Let's see how you do. It's a little bit,
okay,
you're back from it.
How's that sounding?
Better, much better. Thank you.
That's better? Okay.
Yeah. Did you hear the clip from that I just played?
No, I actually am in Colorado tonight, so I don't have anything with me but my phone.
Okay. Well, let me hold on. I'm going to play this clip again. I'm going to play the short version. There are two versions of it.
Okay.
One is edited, one is not. I think you'll find this to be very interesting. All right. Actually, I'm going to play the long one again. Here we go.
You know, I want to. Your program is the very first program ever. I want to announce that I'm writing a book that it's going to be about the Jewish plot. There is another plot that they've got, and I've discovered it, and I'm writing about it now, and I can't say much about it, but once implemented, and I believe that they expect they can implement it within 10 years, it will be the greatest slaughter in all of history.
Wow.
It will be committed by the Jews.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if it occurred far less than 10 years down the road.
That's right. You know, remember Kissinger said, I think it was two years ago, he said in 10 years there will be no Israel.
Israel, correct.
Now,
you can take that several ways.
He knows that's true. There will be no Israel, but there will be a greater Israel. I believe they expect that they will rule the world, and that's why they've gone into Ukraine now.
That's right.
Believe me, Ukraine is a setup war, and they would love for the United States and the former Soviet Union, Russia, to get involved again. But it's basically the Jews going in, and the United States and the Jews taking over Ukraine, and now Russia will get blamed for everything.
Okay, that was about 5 years ago, Mitch, when Tex Mars was still with us. His books are landmarks, every damn one of them. And he had the vision, the former U.S. Air Force, AFOSI, Intel. He was very
Office
well qualified.
Special Investigations, yeah.
That's it. Yep. So there you go. Okay. Ukraine. This is a big potential powder keg, to put it mildly. Go ahead.
Okay, so what I want to do tonight is I want to give people some insight that they're not going to get anywhere else, okay, into Ukraine, Russia, and what's going on. So in order to assess what is leading up to the Russian-Ukrainian war, it is best to understand that Russian intelligence on the United States is both excellent in its penetration of our institutions at all levels, including understanding the false narratives that cripple the American mind. There are Russian soldiers, Marines, sailors, and airmen of all ranks in our military. We have not one person serving in the Russian military. Our human intelligence is abysmal. Human intelligence is when you have actual agents in your enemy's camp, okay? So we create narratives about Russia and Russians and ignore the realities about them. We cannot see them as they are, and we cannot understand what motivates them. Our government tells us that they are the bad guys, and our population believes them. Is our government good guys to you personally, or do they make your life difficult? If the government is not good to its citizens, then it is not likely that they are good to strangers either. The Russians do know us and understand us, and they are even very familiar with all the mind-numbing false narratives that our minds are burdened with. We assess them in our image. We think that they want what we want, and they value what we value. Nothing could be further from the truth. Military intelligence is only a combat multiplier if it is the truth. And we've had these, if you remember, we had all these things under Obama where Obama wanted to intelligence to tell him what he wanted to hear instead of telling him the truth. So we've had this scandal. This is
and that's exactly what
secret,
they did.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
So self-delusion leads to defeat. So the information I'm about to get you, most of this comes from Pew Opinion Polls. And I like Pew because they've been in it a long time, and they're fairly close to the mark, okay? So the first question is, how do the Russian people see the unfolding war? Okay, 50% blame NATO. Only 16% blame the Ukraine. 4% blame Russian separatists, and 30% blame the USA specifically. Okay, so let's look at how do Ukrainians see the unfolding war. 45% blame the Ukrainian/American government because they see them as one and the same. In other words, Ukrainians feel like it's the United States that governs them, not they don't have their own government or their own democracy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 39% blame NATO. Only 8% blame the Russian separatists, and only 8% of Ukrainians blame Russia. This is not what our news media would want you to know, okay? So how do NATO citizens see the unfolding war? 78% blame Russia, 16% blame Russian separatists, 3% blame Ukraine, 3% blame NATO. From these figures alone, you can see that NATO citizens are the most brainwashed. The less the diverse the opinion, the more brainwashed the population is. So why do so few Russians blame Ukraine? Because they believe Ukraine is specifically under American control. As a matter of fact, 75% of Ukrainians believe that their nation is under American control and is not democratic nor represents them in any way. Only 20% of Ukrainians have ever wanted Ukraine to be in NATO. Only 20%. They believe that the USA is forcing them into NATO and the EU undemocratically by force. So the Ukrainian narrative goes as follows. After toppling Ukraine's democratically elected president in 2014, NATO nations have been supporting Ukraine's anti-terrorist operations, quote, okay, against its own population who contested the legitimacy of the coup. The U.S. has since then supported the draconian suppression of political opposition and to Ukraine's government, which 93% of Ukrainians consider as an illegitimate dictatorship. The objective of making Ukraine a bastion against Russia is not compatible with supporting Ukrainian democracy. President Vladimir Zelensky ran on a platform of restoring good relations with Russia, but became bellicose and dictatorial and is seen as a puppet of the USA. Those that point this out disappear into prisons in Ukraine. In fact, the U.S. has encouraged Ukraine not to abide by the 2015 United Nations-approved Minsk Accords, and instead, the U.S. pumps weapons into Ukraine and routinely threatens a NATO expansion that Ukrainians do not want, making Ukraine a front line against Russia, compelling Russia to respond, which risks war and the survival of the Ukraine as a state. Now, this is how Ukrainians see it. So the Russian narrative goes as follows. On March 12, 1999, NATO began to expand. Less than 2 weeks later, invaded Yugoslavia in violation of international law. Henry Kissinger cautioned at the time, NATO could no longer claim to be a defensive alliance, and Russia's fears about Western revisionism in Europe had been confirmed. NATO expansion implicitly entailed presenting Russia with an ultimatum. Russia could either accept that NATO expansion towards Russia's borders was a force for good or oppose expansionism and be castigated as an anti-democratic and counter-civilizational force that would have to be contained. As a Russian journalist told me, Russians cannot even have a good life because the United States keeps threatening Russia's security, making it send so much money on its military, and we love our military for protecting us. Okay. So consequently, Russians do not blame Ukraine, writing off the country as under external administration. And this is a quote, since the end of the Cold War, Russia has been repeatedly assured that NATO's jurisdiction and military forces will not move an inch eastwards. All of these promises have been forgotten and not fulfilled, says Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova. She also said the USA is dragging Kiev into a military orbit of the alliance and turning it into a bridgehead of confrontation with Russia. Such a war would destabilize all of Europe. One of the pivotal topics of the recent NATO meeting in Latvia, not for the first time, was Russia and its possible aggression against Ukraine. However, if we look at things realistically, it is NATO that has approached us. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov offered NATO security guarantees that they hope would defuse the situation and normalize relations on December 18th. Russia wanted to put some security guarantees from NATO. Western European and American troops would not station any troops or offensive missile systems in the old Warsaw Pact nations, or any nation was not in NATO as of 1997. They could remain in NATO, but have no Western forces stationed there as originally promised.
Got it.
Another point includes a call not to place intermediate and short-range land-based missiles in the vicinity of each other's territory. Finally, that NATO not attempt to gain accession of Ukraine, the Transcaucasian nations like Georgia, or any of the old Central Asian republics of the Soviet Union. So this is after Biden talked to Putin. This is what Russia offered as a peace offering to the West. The U.S. and NATO have said no to these security proposals. Russia has announced that it will station nuclear-armed, intermediate, and short-range missiles in Belarus, close to the Polish border. Belarus has asked Russia to do this. On December 20th, Russia promised a military response to any further NATO expansion. Violating any more of Russia's red lines will make a military response inevitable. Germany said that it would not allow Russia to put red lines on anything and will send weapons to Ukraine. They would not fight Russia over Ukraine, but they will send them weapons. The British defense minister said that they are highly unlikely to send troops to help Ukraine, and Ukraine should understand this before getting more bellicose towards Russia. After NATO and the USA refused Russia's security guarantees, Russia said that the Russian proposals were not a menu to choose from. Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Rybakov stated after NATO and USA refused to discuss the security issues that, quote, we make proposals and get in return ultimatums. And under the cover of those ultimatums, dangerous activities which directly impact our national security interests continue. We cannot tolerate this anymore. Instead, the Marxist Biden regime and his European lackeys threatened to economically sanction Russia and even designate it as a terrorist state.
Okay.
If you are white in America, you know how it feels to be designated as a domestic terrorist for not wanting your kids to learn how much they should hate themselves. Russia's offer has now become an ultimatum. On the 19th, Chuck Schumer agreed to let all ambassadorships be voted on in exchange for a vote to close down the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which will raise energy costs for Europeans this winter. It is clear that Germany is a satellite nation of the Marxist Biden regime because we are going to tell Germany and Russia what they can or cannot do. So Russia vetoed a UN resolution to treat climate change as a security threat. I think we can start seeing a lot more vetoes from Russia and China. So what does the Ukrainian puppet regime say about what NATO is doing? They say it is blah, 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 and that we are just making empty threats to Russia. They don't have any hope in us, and they shouldn't. We've already told them we're not going to protect them or help them. Meanwhile, China has supported Russia's demands for security, saying that they will stand by Russia against NATO. You can take this as a signal that when Russia goes into Ukraine, China will reunify with Taiwan.
Uh-huh.
Russia sees more and more weakness from NATO. A Polish soldier defected to Belarus over not allowing Muslim refugees into Poland. Russia can see for itself the social justice warrior nature of NATO troops and their lack of nationalism or patriotism. This must be very encouraging and comforting to them. How many of our social justice warrior military soldiers will defect on the field of battle? The West has no moral force, making their militaries weak and ineffectual. Okay, so meanwhile, in the USA, three retired Army generals, Major General Paul D. Eaton, Major General Antonio Taguba, and Brigadier General Stephen M. Anderson, wrote in the Washington Post that the U.S. Army must be purged of its white supremacist soldiers in case they mutiny when a Democrat is elected president in 2024. Which will happen because the vote for the Democrat will not be will be accepted regardless. They say there will be lethal chaos in the U.S. military when large swaths of the population refuse to accept the very necessary reelection of a Democratic government. Major General Eaton was in charge of training the Iraqi army that fled in disarray during the ISIS onslaught in Iraq, providing ISIS with tons of new military equipment. Major General Antonio Taguba, a Filipino, was the general that investigated Abu Ghraib and put many American soldiers in prison. In 2008, he publicly accused George W. Bush of committing war crimes. Yeah, he's a guy who has your back. Brigadier General Stephen M. Anderson was in charge of logistics in Iraq. You remember the time when billions of dollars and much equipment disappeared? Yeah, he was that guy. So three of the most mediocre generals that ever served, two being white men, want our army purged of all the white supremacists. As we know now, white supremacist actually is just defined as a straight white male. The Russians know this also. They're aware of our cultural ridiculousness. The Department of Defense has consequently updated its defense policy to punishing soldiers who hit a like on a post deemed extremist on social media. It defines six broad categories of extremist activities. They will know what you liked as being extremist when the occasion arises. Just like everything in a dictatorship, they will define your crime after you are arrested. Okay. So Richard Grenell, acting director of national intelligence under Trump, said, What this is about is that Biden and the Democrats are demanding there be no dissent in the military, just like they have for college campuses. They want a blanket political correctness, social justice way of thinking, warrior way of thinking, amongst all the troops in the military. And this is a big difference. Okay, the Russians are aware of Marx's critical race theory and its divisiveness in our society and all of our institutions. They know that it causes division and hatred. They also know that a house divided against itself cannot stand. So
not a chance.
All you have to do is cisgendered.
And boy, are we split down the middle. Oh, yeah.
Pardon?
Are we split down the middle? Divided? Oh, you bet.
Oh, we're divided on every front.
Every Friday.
So if all you have to be is a cisgendered straight white male to be a white supremacist, what would that do to our army? Okay. So first of all, 55.3% of our combat infantrymen are white. 56.1% of our Rangers are white. 87% of our special forces are white, and 84% of our SEAL teams are white. 72% of our Army officers of all branches are white. 69% of our warrant officers are white, and 53% of all our Army enlisted men are white. Can you understand why Russia would be so encouraged by this Department of Defense eating itself like they are?
Yeah. Okay. Well, like the snake eating its own tail. Crazy.
Yep.
Hold on a sec. Mitch Henderson and I will be right back. We are this is the most volatile war scenario on two fronts that I've ever seen without going into war yet. We'll get more on this from Mitch in just a minute. Hold on. Okay, and welcome back. Talking with Mitch Henderson about the tremendous powers that are ebbing and flowing and surging and pushing on the doorstep, so to speak, of war, especially in Ukraine. It's right there. What has changed militarily, strategically, since the last time we talked about this, Mitch? Anything much? Same number of troops allegedly deployed by Russia? We've got American troops now in there as advisors. What's going on?
Okay, so in Russia, they're going to keep massing troops and supplies and equipment on the border. Okay.
Right.
Now, once before, I said that this they could be in Kiev in a day, and within a few weeks, they could take over the entire Ukraine. Okay. And with the information that I gave earlier in the program about the way the Ukrainians feel and the way that the Russians feel, okay, it makes it kind of plain that the Ukrainians don't want this war. The Russians don't want this war. The Russians don't actually blame the Ukrainians, okay, and the Ukrainians don't actually blame the Russians. Both countries, people, blame the United States and NATO for what's going on. They feel like they're being pushed into this. This is not something that comes from them. They do not have a democracy there. They have Zelensky, who's a totalitarian dictator. If you disagree with him or say something different than what he wants the people to hear, he jails people. He tortures people. Okay, he's everything we say bad about Putin is what is actually bad about Zelensky. Okay.
Really important. Very important that you mention that. Thank you.
It's like,
good.
This is like you were, like Tex Mars was saying, this is a manufactured war. This is a war contrary to the wishes of the Ukrainian people. Like I said before, only 20% of Ukrainians ever wanted to be a part of NATO.
Yeah.
You know, that's just one out of five people in Ukraine wanted to be a part of NATO.
Yeah.
So what we're seeing is a Ukrainian government that's really a puppet of the United States,
mm-hmm.
and they're being shoved into this war, okay? So talking about this whole thing of purging our military of white people is when they're the majority of the people, especially the experienced people and stuff, and the combat soldiers tend to be mostly white, As a matter of fact, the more combat trained you are, the more that unit is white. Okay, and yet our government is attacking the very people that have to defend us. Okay, Russia sees this, and Russia knows this. Okay, and Russia doesn't even have. When Russia finds these things out, they don't have a problem telling their people about it. But whatever truths we may find out about Russia, the American government would never tell us. They would never tell us these facts about the way people over there feel. The American government creates a narrative, feeds it to the American people, and the American people just, you know, sort of ho-hum, kind of go along and buy it. They don't realize that this is the seed of the destruction of our country and of our people, okay? This is the seed of it, okay? So I understand why the Marxist Biden regime's fear. The Build Back Better social infrastructure bill would put most of these soldiers out of a career. For 6 years, from 2011 to 2017, I attended my son's annual Army annual Christmas family days. They always started out with troops in formation where military medals and awards were passed out. In 6 years, I only saw people of color, LGBT, and females get any awards or decorations. I never saw a straight white male soldier even once get an award or a medal. This is called equity, okay? The military's anti-white discrimination is both palpable and obvious. It's obvious to the white troops that are in the military, okay? Just like in Rwanda, white people are cockroaches that need to be genocided. My son got the picture. He left the military when his time was up because there was no future for him, and he knew absolutely he would never be treated fairly or judged by merit. His black company commander blocked any chance of him excelling, even though he was more productive in his job, twice as much productive as the next person. Okay, it was clearly not worth the effort. Was he ready to defend and obey those who were weaker and less capable than him that got promoted and recognized ahead of him? He hated the Army and its lack of leadership and professionalism. He has no fond memories of it. Okay. It was just a hate whitey 6 years of his life. Okay. So how many soldiers feel the same? Maybe lots. Which is why they have to label them extremists and get rid of them. They are not politically reliable soldiers. When I went in the Army in 1971 for the Vietnam War, they could care less what I thought about anything. I was taught to kill people and break things, period. Nobody is taught that now. It may hurt their feelings or freak them out.
That's, you know, very interesting. That's a,
whatnot, you know?
Excuse me, Mitch. That's a very interesting observation. A 180 turn. Total 180 degree turn in our basic military philosophy of combat and its entire reason for being. This is crazy.
Yeah, it's turned from a military to a social engineering program.
Okay. Got it.
I had this discussion once with a female, a very feminist professor. She said, well, shouldn't women be allowed in, you know, combat units and stuff? And I told her, I said, well, when it comes to, she knew that I was a veteran. I said, well, when it comes to national defense, what we need to be concerned with is the most bang for our bucks. That's all that matters, is we must be able to fight well and fight hard. I said, so all these other questions are peripheral. The most important question is what gets the job done the best? Because in the military, if you are laggard on any point, it gets people killed, okay? Including women who might should be serving, okay?
Right.
So I also wondered why men had to be lean and in good shape, but there were way too many fat females serving that did not get kicked out like the men did. There's always been a double standard. Females have to do less physical activity in order to pass the physical fitness test, and they overlook the weight gains and stuff, okay? I can see this on any base. I see lots of overweight women in our military, okay? In other words, it's a different standard for women, but we have to ignore the standards that men make for women that men have to apply, you know, be applicable to men that are not applicable to women because they want more women. They want 50% of our military to be women. Okay. It's not about national defense. It's about equity. Okay. So Russians know that we have a politically correct social justice warrior military, and they are not afraid of us. The Russian army still focuses on killing people and breaking things. They will not mess around. Okay. The Marxist Biden regime continues to signal both weakness and unreliability. Just before Ukraine is in danger of being invaded, Chairman Biden halts the transfer of $200 million of military weapons and ammunition to Ukraine. In other words, he wants Ukraine to fail. Okay, that's part of the plan. That's the only thing that's going to drag the world into World War III. If they're successful in defending themselves, that would preempt World War III. Just like he canceled the sale of air defense systems to Saudi Arabia and pulls out all of our air defense systems out of Saudi Arabia while the Saudis are being hit with over 120, Iranian missiles per day. Okay.
Is this going on right now still, Mitch? Is this continuing right now?
Yes.
Now, what kind of, let me ask you, what kind of missiles are these? Are they IRBMs primarily designed to take out military bases and components thereof? Or are they designed to go into civilian areas and kill the populace? What are we talking about?
Well, these missiles, they're targeting military bases and oil refineries, oil storage places, even civilian airports.
120 a day. And these are big. Yeah, these aren't bottle rockets like the Palestinians have. These are serious missiles. Interesting.
Right, right. These are big missiles. They fly all the way from Yemen or Iraq into Saudi Arabia. Okay. They can fire a missile from Yemen that will hit Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia, okay, which is pretty good distance. So you were just talking about how Israel would not exist in 10 years. So listen to this.
Statement.
So the Iranian nuclear missile program is going strong. The JCPOA is treading water in negotiations with Iran. The European members and everything have already said that this is not going to happen. And the Iranians are nearing breakout for nuclear weapons. Israel says it must attack Iran soon. So Israel had ordered 4 refueling tankers so that they could have the reach to strike Iran. But Chairman Biden said that he would not deliver them until 2024. Okay.
Yeah.
Just as he's cutting Ukraine's ability to fight, Saudi's ability to fight, Israel's ability to fight. So he's doing everything to favor Iran, favor, Russia, and favor China. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like you can't count on America for anything at all. This is super encouraging to Iran, Russia, and China. This is, if you just step back and looking at it, this is begging those countries to go to war. We are opening a window for them so that they can strike, okay? From Sun Tzu's Art of War, you know, to attack when and where the enemy is weak. Russia and China have a small window of opportunity to take Ukraine and Taiwan in the next 8 months. When that window closes, it may not have opened again for a century. Another Sun Tzu aphorism is to never tell your enemy what you will do, but especially never tell your enemy what you won't do. We publicly state that we will not nuke Russian population centers. The U.S. and NATO make clear to Russia that they will not send troops to help Ukraine if Russia invades. Okay? This is not stupidity. This is intentionally trying to start a world war. Okay? And who's starting that world war? Well, the Zionist Marxist regime that runs our country right now. They're the ones who are doing it. Okay? We might as well be sending Russia a formal invitation to invade. The Russians do not hate the Ukrainians, but the Americans do, and the Ukrainians know it. We pick a fight with Russia, then abandon the Ukrainians when they have to fight. The Marxist Biden regime wants Ukraine destroyed to destroy the evidence of their own personal corruption. Chairman Biden thinks he is the dictator of the world. I wonder how the world likes him being in charge. I think everybody knows that he's going to get them killed. Okay? So today,
well, you
got
to remember it's Obama. I try to call him O'Biden to get the idea across that Obama is not the very top of the food chain, but he's giving out the instructions.
Well, yes, that's why I like to call it the Marxist Biden regime. Okay,
there you go.
It's
perfect.
It's the regime because it's under a regime under his name. He's too incompetent to actually accomplish anything, I believe. So today, before I left New Mexico, things are happening so fast that I decided to see if there was anything of interest on there. And there were two articles that were interesting. One was about Putin talking about how the United States cannot be trusted to honor its promises. Okay, so that's why in these security guarantees, they're asking for it in writing, because before they took a verbal thing that was, you know, publicly recorded, but we went back on it. That's why when you heard the term revisionist regime in the United States, the revision that they're talking about is that we make a promise and then we act like it never existed. Okay. The next article may be the trigger that is going to set the war off, okay? And it is, the name of the article is American Mercenaries Preparing Chemical Weapon Incident in East Ukraine, Russia claims, okay? So U.S. private military companies are preparing a provocation using chemical weapons in troubled and tense eastern Ukraine, Russian Defense Ministry Sergei Shoigu claimed on Tuesday. Containers with unidentified chemical components have been delivered to the cities of Avdiivka and Krasny Liman and Donbass in order to stage provocations, Shoigu said, at Tuesday's meeting of the Defense Ministry Board in Moscow, attended by President Vladimir Putin. So this is the possible provocation that makes Russia invade. To use chemical weapons on Russian separatists in the Donbass, well, it's a war crime. It's against international law, okay? And we can make it happen whether it happens or not. I mean, listen, we've seen this game played out in Syria before, where we set a red line about chemical weapons, and then we facilitate Al-Qaeda in getting the chemical weapons so they can fake their own chemical attacks against themselves. I used to watch the films of that, and I thought, well, okay, it's nonsense. This is not the agent that they say that it is, okay? The first thing I did in the Army was I went to the Chemical, Biological, and Radiological Warfare School at Fort McClellan. And at that time, everybody in my class had, like, bachelor's degrees in biology or chemistry or something like that. So the instruction was not on the level of dumbing it down to the eighth grade level. It was actually at the level of the people that was there. I was perhaps the only person in my class that did not have a college degree, okay? Mm-hmm. But I understood what they taught me. I mean, I passed the course and stuff. But the film that I saw from Syria of these alleged chemical attacks with nerve gas is nonsense. That is not how you act when you get attacked with a nerve gas. Those are not the symptoms. And they're using water to wash it off. Well, nerve gases are in oils, and oils don't wash off with water very well. Okay? So I could see the films, and I could see it's bullshit. All they were doing is making sure they were playing this to the audience at large who has no personal knowledge of A, what chemical agents do to you, and B, how you treat them, okay, because they weren't treating them properly. Okay, so it was, I could tell it was bogus just by looking at it. Okay, so, you know, they could launch a chemical weapon attack on Russian people that live in the Donbass, and that will make Russia have to do something. They have to protect Russian people, you know. It's what they do. There it is. I mean, you know, we're going to make Ukraine fight a war without support that we're going to start, and we're imposing this war on them. Okay, it's just like we saw a destabilization program in Iraq. We're seeing one in Syria. We saw one in Libya. The next step is a destabilization program for the world, not just for a single country or a single region, but a worldwide destabilization program. And I remember back from my military days, why do we do destabilization programs? Well, to make the destabilized country dependent on us to help them to fix the problem, okay? So, I mean, you can create a problem and have a ready solution, okay, and that's how you take places over, okay?
Got it.
You create the problems under the table, and then you come in to fix them, and that's how you gain control over things, okay? We've been at this a long time. We've practiced all we need to practice. All we have to do now is make it a worldwide destabilization. And you're seeing it happen. You're seeing that dance occur right now, before our own eyes, okay? Almost every day, there's more and more. The chatter will increase. What I predict is the chatter is going to increase. Things are going to look tight. And then there'll be kind of a wall, okay? Well, that's the wall before the storm, okay? Because it's sort of like you're going to get in a fight with somebody, you have words with them, but you want to surprise attack them, you want to sucker punch them. So what you do is you calm down, act like everything's okay, and then bam, you hit them, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is for shock value and stuff, because if you can shock people, It's the same principle of using fear to control people. Okay, so there'll be very much to fear in the near future. Okay, your life is not going to be the way that it was ever before. Everything is changing. This is the change that they're going to make. This is the final shot for the Zionist world empire. Okay, that's why Israel itself. Under Netanyahu, it was a nationalist state concerned with the state of Israel. But under Naftali Bennett, Israel is not the issue. It's world government, world domination that is the issue. Okay? So, anyways.
Well, not exactly a portrait of roses and daisies, but it's real. It's what it is. It's exactly what we have to deal
real.
With. Yeah. Yep. Yeah,
very real. It's pushed. They're pushing it. They're
what's your time? What's your time projection on this, Mitch?
Well, you know, I can only make some guesses. I would guess the first week of January would be an excellent time for the Russians to invade Ukraine. Okay. Because they need supplies. If they don't do it then, China may want them to wait until after the Olympics and stuff before they go to war, which would be the first week in February. Which the Olympics is the first week in February, so it would be after February. But this is what projections have been all along is towards the end of January or the first part of February. But if it's expected at that time, they might, you know, try to act nonchalant for, you know, a few weeks or a month or so, and then go ahead and attack. But here's the thing that has to happen, is Chairman Xi is up for election in October 22. In October 22, he has to, by then, have accomplished reunifying China and let the dust settle and things get back to normal somewhat. Okay, so he can get reelected and be hailed as a hero.
Elected. They got rigged elections over there, too, so what do we really think here? He's just being reappointed by the CCP, isn't that about it?
Well, there is an alternative. There is a clique of people that want him out in the Communist Party.
So there is a fracture there, from what I understand.
Yeah, he does have to make a good impression. He has to perform. Okay, and his country's falling apart. He needs something to pull it together. And the invasion of Taiwan is it. Listen, Taiwan has already crossed every single red line that China ever made since 1949. Not only have they crossed the red lines, but they have shoved it in China's face to the point where Chairman Xi is losing face if he does not take action. Okay? And if Russia ever wants peace, it has to take the Ukraine. Okay. So.
All right. Very good.
Something that has to happen.
Yeah. The middle of winter, perhaps. They want to get those Olympics in.
Everybody will be inside trying to stay warm.
Got it. I gotcha.
It's not a bad idea.
Be better than spring.
Yeah. It gets too muddy in the spring.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Keep it frozen. Keep that ground solid so the heavy equipment can move quickly. Yeah.
Yep. As we say, go in on the ice, you know?
Yeah. Wow. All right. Thank you, Mitch, and Merry Christmas to you. I guess I'll see
you
next week.
You're very welcome. Merry Christmas to you, Jeff.
Thank you. Good job, as always. Talk soon.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Mitchell Henderson. So a winter war, which could become enormous very quickly. We'll see. Be right back with David Oates from Australia.